Hey guys, welcome in. It's Friday and I want to jump out of my seat today. First off, man, what a day yesterday and what a week it's been. Segs, so great to have you on the show. Triple E here as well. Laura behind the scenes as we continue to grow this. The support we get when you're getting six figures of people tuning in and viewing this, amen. Thank you guys. And you know what? That's not pandering. This is called growth. And the only reason we grow is because you guys like what's going on, because we're going to be authentic. So whether it's Rumble, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. You can get this show live, man. Wherever it's closest to you, whatever you find best, come on. And we are so happy to have you on a Friday. And I know people think Friday's a day off. Not for Segs and I, for Triple E. This is where we lead you into the most important part of your weekend, whether you're betting, whether you're just sitting around enjoying a cocktail and smoking a cigar and casually loving sports, or anything else that we like to talk about and have some fun with. And hell, we'll start betting on, you know, who's the next senator to piss off somebody else. We'll get to that too. We'll have some fun with that at the goal. But Segs and I are here today. So go on there and subscribe. Tell your friends. Listen, we love opposition. We love the banter. And Segs and I will talk later on about a segment we're going to have in the show for you guys every single day. And so we love that. And the thing about the sports weekend we're headed for, if you're Seattle, do you really want to see Tarek Skubal in your building for a game five? If you are the Dodgers, you are wiping your brow thinking, oh my gosh, the way that game ended. And unfortunately, that's not the way you see it. Now we got to have some compassion, because I know, I'm sure in Philly, they're probably approaching that last play that got the Dodgers the win. And the Dodgers, I guarantee you, are thinking, we escaped having to go back to Philly for a game five, which you did not want to do. Correct, Segs? It would have been right there in Philly for game five. Segs, welcome in. And Segs, dare I say that somebody that we think is high, and we were wrong yesterday. We both thought that Thursday night game, the fire in their belly was going to fix this, right? You know, the Giants are coming off a New Orleans loss and kind of but we didn't know. And they're still, while they're getting better, and you could see the energy that Jackson Dart and Scatabue bring to that team, and we will discuss. But we expected Philly, after just kind of, they haven't really hit stride yet, even though they know how to win. And I was, I don't want to say dead wrong, because we said, be careful if you're Philly and you don't play your best football and you go back to Philly with this loss, the questions are going to rise even more. But we both expected Philly to win and play better football. They got a little bit of an ass whooping, Seg. So welcome in, man. I dare I say that you, and I know we didn't even talk about it. We had one word that you were going to bring up. And your first question of the day is, what's that?
Are the Eagles overrated? I think it's simple. I mean, we've watched them now for six games. They sit at 4-2. Yes, can they figure things out? Sure. They have a ton of talent on that team. But that defense is very young. That defense has lost some veteran leadership over the last couple years. And they are not doing much of anything. They are not getting after the quarterback like they have in years past. They are not covering the pass nearly as much as they have in the past. I mean, Keely Ringo and Adoree Jackson are just brutal cornerbacks right now. And it's week in, week out.
How dare you talk about a Trojan like that? How dare you talk about a Trojan like that?
When that Trojan plays like that, he deserves to be talked about like that. I mean, every time he'd try and make a tackle, it was just one of those head down, I'm going to dive in that general area, but I don't really want to hit the guy because I'll probably get hurt. Ringo had the play where I'm not even sure who caught the ball on the Giants, and he just kind of ran by him and didn't touch him to down him. Guy got up and ran for another 7 yards. It's just mental mistakes made by this Philly defense. And the offense just doesn't do anything besides the tush push. That's it. Yeah, I mean, right now?
Yeah, they dominate that. And I'm okay with, listen, the optics suck. I know, but it gets right down to, can you stop them or can't you, right? When we really get down to it, I know we bitch about it and some people like want to fix it. And I get that we want to fix it. But the truth of the matter is, if it's legal, why wouldn't you use it if they can't stop you? I would too, right? So if they change it and the optics are so ugly, we're tired of it, and then the NFL uses the excuse, well, too many people can get hurt. Well, too many people could have got hurt the last 4 years too, and they've done nothing, or 3 years, whatever it's been. So we'll see how that goes. While it looks ugly, that right now, that's the only thing they dominate. Even though they know how to win, the last couple – maybe – eventually teams and 6 weeks in, you know who you are. Now, yes, you can go on a hot streak. I'm talking about the identity of your team. that 6 weeks I can usually feel, it's like in baseball, 60 games in segs. Now people go on hot streaks, but I do have an idea who the identity of the team is, and I do in the NFL as well. And you made a great point. And also the pass rush segs. They got 2 sacks for a yard last night. Sat yards lost, 2 for a yard. And we know that as a rookie quarterback, you're still trying to find your way in Jackson Dart, but his energy is different. And so they're not dominating the line of scrimmage. They're not dominating running the ball. And I do believe the Giants rushed for a 170+ last night. And that's the biggest stat there is. Rush for a 170+, and your quarterback protects the football, Segs. They had 0 turnovers in their game last night, did the New York Giants. So you don't turn it over and you rush for a 172 and you give up 2 sacks, but it's for a yard. It's not like 3rd and 17. You lost 15 yards in a red zone and all that. And Scadabo was outstanding. Jackson Dart. Segs, I'm telling you, if they build on this, there's going to be something to really like about the Giants, because those two young players might very well be. And then you add Neighbors when he's healthy.
Yep.
That's a trifecta that's pretty friggin' good. But to answer your question, if we know who a team is, and I know there's Super Bowl hangovers, but none of us want that excuse. Think about this now. Imagine if they were 5-0 and kicking ass, we'd say not only underrated, they're dominant, best team in the league. But at what, 4-2, they lost to a rival, they lost in their building, and quite frankly, they got their ass handed to them. They got pretty much dominated. And I do believe in that. I do believe that Jalen Hurts is a winner. And he threw the ball pretty well last night, Segs. He did. But there's something missing about the dominance and the swagger that the Eagles are used to. The Giants put it on them. So judging from how I felt about them and judging from what we talked about going into the season about the Eagles, you can only deduct one thing. They are overrated as a whole. Good parts, but the whole sum is overrated. And a Giants team that, quite frankly, still isn't great, Segs, but – they've shown up a couple times. You don't look at the Giants say explosive offense. Last night it was pretty damn explosive, and it's young energy and now learning how to win. Had Brian Daboll have started Jackson Dart coming out of the preseason, Segs, they might have a win or two more, and I'm being honest about this. I just am. I know people are afraid to start a rookie, but why? Does that kid look like he lacks confidence if he were to struggle? Hell, he laid the ball on the ground last week. They lost to a team they should not have lost to, the Saints. Did it look last night like that kid came back? Oh, I was affected by my woes last week and got my ass kicked. And, man, I'm going to pout and go hang in the corner. Man, I'm sorry, I'm a rookie, and make an excuse. No, he came back today, and two rookies dominated a veteran team for the most part that is the Super Bowl champion and looked nothing like the Super Bowl champion when it came to the physicality we're used to. If that team plays the Chiefs in the Super Bowl last year, Segs, with the pass rush, different result.
Yes.
It's a different result. But last year's last year. This year's team, you can no longer put them in your top five of the power rankings. They don't belong.
Listen to these 4 stats. And when we, you know, these are just the basic stats. Points scored for the Philadelphia Eagles, 142. Points allowed, 143. Yards gained as an offense, 1,647. Yards allowed as a defense, 2,057. Rushing yards gained. Now, this is with Saquon Barkley. 572. Rushing yards allowed, 806. Jalen Hurts has been sacked 18 times. The Eagles have 9 sacks as a team on defense. So, I mean, those 4 stats
every right category. There,
yes.
Every category. I mean,
it's just, it's been a horrible start to the season, and they were lucky to get out of to beat the Rams in that game. They could have lost an earlier game in the season as well. I mean, I just, that Chiefs game, that's the one I was just thinking of, that they should have lost that one, in my opinion. So
they're fortunate to get out of the Cowboys game, right, Segs?
Right. Yeah.
Fortunate to get out of the Cowboys game with a win.
So, I mean we're looking at this team. They're not far from being 1-5, 2-4 themselves. And then it's a completely different conversation. You can still see it bubbling with AJ Brown. You can still see, I mean, Hurts missed Devontae Smith wide open again on a deep throw. And I know those things happen, but right now.
Yeah, but they can't in a game like that, Sage. Yes, they can't.
Every single throw, every single run is under a microscope right now because of how they've played through the first 5 weeks. And then last night they came out and they played exactly like they have been all season long, and they got beat by an inferior team.
Segs, do we think, and I mulled this over, I think about players in the past that had a lot of touches the year before and touched the ball and had to carry a load that was, I'm talking about a major 18-wheel mm-hmm. Mack truck on their back, meaning Saquon Barkley. Is there any chance, and I think there is, that it's hard to do that back-to-back year, Segs? We talk about load management. Does the usage, is it carrying over? Even with the guy's a stud and a great player. But you look at those numbers that you pulled up, that Triple E put up from Ari up there, and then you had read them. When you look at that, I mean, they're getting dominated at the line of scrimmage and in the backfield. I mean, they're being dominated from the opponent, judging by their numbers against the opponent. The points is a little bit alarming. The sack, everything on there reeks of average. And I know they're not average, but you know what, Segs? They're not great.
Nope.
And when you run it, when you start flirting with those numbers, and then you go against an inferior team that doesn't feel like they're an inferior team, and you're in their building, and they don't want to be embarrassed, they go kick your ass, and that's what happened.
Yep.
And the great ones don't lose that game. Why? Because even if they had a bad game the week before or a good game the week before, the great ones learn. Now you're going to have them throughout the season, but great teams don't let it fester. Correct? They just don't. So when you look at the numbers, and numbers can be misleading, they win, but imagine three of those games are turned on their side in the statistics, or that game, a player two or three or four in those games are different. We're looking at a team that right now, Washington or Dallas are battling for first place. The Giants are hovering around, and Philadelphia is, you know, a two-win or one-win team. We're saying, damn, what happened? Now, again, they know how to win, and it's contagious, and they're really – They got guts. There's no questioning it. But there is no way today they're waking up thinking, whether it was our best effort or that they're waking up thinking we're a dominant team. They've got to have some inner questions going on, because right now they are not. And the numbers are alarming on the physical stuff. I'm not just talking about the finesse stuff. Finesse stuff's fine. I see that all the time. I'm talking about on the meat and potatoes of what makes a team good. Defensive line of scrimmage, they don't pressure the quarterback near the same. They're getting more sacks given up, where they're supposed to be as dominant an offensive line as there is in a game. And the rushing yards downhill, the opponent, it kicked their ass last night, and they're not kicking the other team's ass on the push and the run game. If you want to know anything, if you want to dive deep into somebody, I know quarterback stats and touchdown pass, all those things matter. But if you want to know what the meat and potatoes of a football team and where stats really hit, look at who's taking body blows and who's delivering them. That will tell you how good the team is in truth, the soul of the team, not the cosmetic part. Right now, the soul of the Philadelphia Eagles doesn't want to take any body blows, because when they're dealt them, they're not giving them back this year, which is a bit shocking to me.
Yeah, you brought up Saquon Barkley. Last year, 345 rushing attempts led the league. He had 33 catches, so 378 touches he had last season. That's a ton. He had 2,283 yards, total yards. That's 6 yards per touch. Great season. One of the best seasons we've ever seen.
Phenomenal for a great player and a great guy, too. Phenomenal.
This season so far through six games, he's at 114 touches. He's got 462 total yards, 4.1 yards per touch. So he's almost down 2 yards from last season. So, yes, to your question, yes, it's hard to come back. I mean, look at Derrick Henry. He's having problems fumbling the ball. He had a monster week one. Since then, has not done much of anything, and now it's even harder with Lamar Jackson out. He also had, 1,990 yards last year rushing? So, I mean, yes, when you have to do that and carry the load so much, it is hard to come back that next year.
Jamal, when he was in Atlanta,
Anderson.
Their Super Bowl year. Jamal Anderson had, I think, 405 touches something, that year?
Yeah.
And then Jamal Lewis in Baltimore, when he rush for 2,000 yards and have close to 400 touches that year? High 350s, 375 when he was in Baltimore, when they were at their best, was that around 2000, somewhere in that range, Sigs, that team, right? And, yeah. Am I right about the Ravens? Didn't he have over 350 touches that year? And then I say, look at the year after. I hate to say this about my guy, Jamal Anderson, who I love, and he was a monster.
It was 410
for Jamal Anderson, right?
Yep, for 1,846 yards.
Now then do the year after. How was that?
He only played in two games because he got hurt.
Oh, say it again?
Yeah.
Okay. Then Jamal Lewis in Baltimore. I don't know what it is. I'm just going by optics. I didn't even look at the numbers the year after. But I know, and we Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's been carrying the ball like this forever.
Yeah.
Now, you got to have a lot of offensive line. But did Philadelphia's offensive line all of a sudden wake up and not be any good? Did Atlanta's wake up the next year and not be any good? They've been good for a while. Jonathan Ogden was on those teams, was he not? Yep. So they had some dominant teams.
Jamal Lewis, 387 rushing attempts for 2,066 yards. The following year, he only played in 12 games, had 235 rushes for just over 1,000 yards. So in his
Which
yards
was a decent carry, year, but decent year.
Not
still missed four games.
Yes.
Still missed four games. So the point here is, and that's why team segs are afraid to pay long-term contracts. You get Saquon Barkley's the dude can leg press the team bus and bench press it as well. The guy's a stud. But regardless, the hits start to add up. And whether it's the burst or whether it's the fact that the length of your season plus the carries, not enough time up. I don't know what it is, but it's real. I don't know how, no matter how studly you are, you can only take so many blows to the face or so many blows to the legs before it's like, man, I need some respite here. The goal is for a team to get them touches that gives you the most production by not giving it to him 35 times a game or 30 to go from 28 to 22. And those six touches do matter and still getting the same production because other T players on your team are getting great production. So you don't have to wear one dude out. Right. So it's real, man. I'm just telling you it is. And that doesn't mean he's not going to go rush for 180 next week, but I'm talking about the sustained success. It's hard to do. And why, Segs, do you think we do this? You wear them out, and about 6 years in, you know what you're ready to do? Move on.
Yep.
You're ready to move on to the next guy and not pay that guy, and we're all bitching. Well, what do you mean? Now, guys like Derrick Henry are freak shows because he was able to come back last year and have a rejuvenated year. I get it. But this year's different, and I know they're banged up on the offensive line, but he's still playing, and guess what that means, Segs? Holes aren't as big. He's getting hit even more, which will, at the end of the season for a 1-4 team, if they had any hopes to come back, which – the way it looks to me, I don't see that team having any chance of coming back with all their injuries. And it wears you out, man. And that's why when everybody says, well, why do we need two backs? Well, guess what? You're seeing it. Why you got to be able to have a guy that can come in and spot a guy and give you 12 touches or 10 touches. I think that's when teams are at their best. Philadelphia is overrated at this stage. Hate to say it, but they are.
It's why, you know, this running back discussion, it's why I'm so against taking a running back in the first round. Yes, you can get great talent. But, you know, there is worry that
shelf life.
They are 5 years and done or 5 years and they go down a complete level. And then you're going to pay them for what they've done, not what they're about to do. Yes, Derrick Henry was a different animal. Not all running backs are 6'3", 245 pounds like Derrick Henry.
Yeah, 6'3", 245, my ass, dude. He's about 6'4", 265, and still run. He's even Eminem away from 265. Don't kid yourself. If you ever stood next to the guy, seen that cat? Dude, I'm 6'5", 240 right now, and he makes me look like I'm like I'm the leprechaun on those doggone scary movies. I mean, short dude, man. That's how big he is.
There's that picture of him and Mark Ingram at Alabama. Where Mark Ingram is a big back. Like, he is a stocky back.
Stout.
Shorter.
Stout. Yeah. Still is on TV. Yeah.
Derrick Henry makes him look like he's Tyreek Hill.
Like, dude, he's the cliff. Mark Ingram's cliff notes compared to what we used to do for a test in school to Derrick Henry. You could set a drink on his head. And Mark Ingram's ain't no slouch and no small man, right? Derrick Henry is an outside linebacker playing running back. That's it. And quite frankly, there's some outside linebackers that wish they had Derrick Henry's length and size.
Yes.
And that's when you draft him in the first round. I am with you. And you have to make a commitment and give him the ball when you draft him in the first round. Why? Because you're going to milk the shelf life. I got him.
Yes.
I'm going to wear him out. And after that first contract, if he's great, a short-term one, that's why those guys like Barkley leave and go get somewhere else and – Hell, he got a Super Bowl and a great season and offensive play, all those great things that he deserved that he can rejuvenate. But watch, Segs, if this keeps going on, watch him have a great year next year. Why?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, maybe doesn't get as much work this year. It is real, and I never want to believe it, but it is real. And sometimes if you're going to do it, you better be awfully sure that if you're going to wear him out, that you milk that 5 years or 6 years of top-notch shelf life. Like I said, the Derrick Henrys of the world are the outlier.
Yes.
They're not. And we say, well, how'd Barry Sanders last in? Because he retired sooner. Well, Emmitt was with great offensive line that moved the pile for like a decade, and he was tough as hell. And Barry was a miss-me guy. You got skinny. You never really got a big hit on because he jittered around. Trust me, he played against. Sometimes you'd grab air. He wasn't the – I'm telling you, in space, you don't take the type of hits that you do inside. Neither do quarterbacks. That's why when everybody talks about quarterback hits, I say – quarterback hits outside the pocket are far more brutal than they are. I mean, they're brutal, less brutal, should I say, because I can see and get down and I can see peripheral vision. In the pocket, you sit in that pocket, you're getting the dog shit kicked out of you on a regular basis. So that's, well, how does this guy last longer? Well, the hits he's taking are more on the perimeter as opposed to, you know, when Russ Wilson first started, he was brilliant at getting out and sliding and working in space. That's why those pocket guys are taking far more vicious hits because they can't see it. At least I can see it in space. Why you encourage them, use your legs and get your ass down, Jaden Daniels. We need you for 15 years, not three. But in the running back position, man, if you're a between the tackle thumper with some wiggle, Derrick Henry guys are the outliers. And the Saquon Barkley pushing 400 touches last year, Sakes. It's just not human when they're beating on you like that. It's hard to overcome.
And then you know, we're talking about this, and then you look at a guy like Cam Scataboo who goes out there and he has that crazy gene. That he don't care what
he's a nut job in a good way. The guy's a nut job.
I mean, I watched the video this morning of him while he's at Arizona State, like they're walking to the tunnel in the game, and someone's filming, like on a phone, and they're walking past Cam Scataboo, and he's leaned over at like a 90-degree angle with his head against a brick wall in his helmet. He's got his helmet on, and he's just hitting the brick wall over and just, and he says, "I'm just getting my neck ready for the game." So he's literally hitting a brick wall with his head, with his helmet, to get himself ready to go out there and run through people, basically.
Energy
with his
guy.
Head. And that's how he runs. But would you give that guy a second contract? Hell no, or I wouldn't.
Well, Stegs, listen, he's going to be a blast to watch for the next 4 years, 5 years. And I friggin' loved him at Arizona State. The dude, kind of like Darth, there's just a different energy about them, and he ain't running around you. Now, he's an open space, but his ego, and it's a good thing, but his toughness is like, no, I wasn't raised, man. I'm a truck. I'm not a trailer. You ain't pulling me along.
Yes.
I'm the one pulling people along, and if you're going to come up and thump me, I'm going to make you pay for it. Now, that's awesome, but year six, it's going to look different. I'm just telling you, it is.
Yes.
It just is, unless you limit it and do it, but I ain't telling that cat in year one, hey, don't take everybody up. That's who he is and what he's – it's like telling a great special teamer like Steve Tasker when he was running, hey, man, whatever you do when you're running down there, or Matthew Slater, run around people. They're like, screw you.
I'm running
right through him. Exactly. The guy's out of his mind, and I mean it in a good way. I want him on my team. You know who he is? I think about guys like Jackson Dart. I feel like that Cam Scataboo and Baker Mayfield are the same cat. They just play different positions. The energy, they'll take you on. Even when the coach says don't do it, they'll get up and stand at you, and then they'll throw a touchdown pass, or he'll run through you, get knocked down, fumble like he did last week, laid it on the ground just like Dart did. What's he do? Comes right back, going to challenge again. I love those guys. Now, the shelf life isn't going to be what a guy that's a third down back, Kevin Fault, catching it out of the backfield for 12 or 13 years. It just isn't. But I'm going to have a joy watching that cat for the next 5 years, and those two together – and getting Neighbors back. Neighbors is probably over there with his knee thinking, damn, I missed out on this. I got to get my ass back on the field because this is why I got drafted and this is what I'm here for. And so Brian Daboll's probably smirking, and he and Kafka are like, dude, maybe if we can milk this a little longer, I might get a renewal of my contract, and then we could get another draft, and we got a great – dude, they're down four, Segs. They're pretty good now.
Yes.
That pass rush is going to get better. So you're starting to think, well, the foundation of – we build the offensive line. We got a good dynamic quarterback and an energetic one. We got a running back who's tough as hell. We got a wide receiver who's a game breaker. Ooh, we're good in the front seven. We've got the foundation. Now let me get a few periphery players, you know, whether it's in the secondary, whether – and now, guess what? Now when we come into a season, you're no longer talking about, well, the Giants, here we go again. You're talking about – how our team's going to deal with the Giants. They are building something, and those young players' energy is making a difference. And you know me, Sig, since you've been on, I've been begging for that energy with Dart and the rest of them, and now here we go. And it showed last night. The Giants put an ass-whooping on Philadelphia.
It's funny because you watch Scadaboo and who he reminds me of, how he runs the ball, but not nearly the same size. It's like a Mike Alstott. Like, you just give him the ball and he goes. He's got more speed.
With more burst. With more speed, right? Mike was
250 pounds, whereas Scadaboo's about 215, 220. So there's a difference there. But the style of running the ball, it looks a lot like Alstott.
Put it this way. The defensive players, when they face those guys, are like, oh gosh, this.
Yes.
They're like, I know I'm in for one tonight because the guy's going to be, he ain't trying to avoid me. I know that he's trying to run through me. Also, I would say just methodical, right? Oh. Scadaboo's got a little more wiggle than Alstott, but you know what? At the point of contact, both of them had one goal in mind, to knock the piss out of you. And they
remember
pretty well.
Mike
Scadaboo's
Alstott,
already started.
Mike Alstott went to Joliet Catholic, which is about 20 minutes from where I live. I remember going watching him when he was in high school there, and they just ran that wing T formation, all those little just big pile runs, and he would just hit the pile would fall over, and then he'd just run through it and go for a touchdown. Like, time,
it was a man
time,
playing against time, boys, right?
At the time,
that's what it was.
It was incredible. Like, I mean, the stories you'd hear about him and pulling semi trucks like down the street next to the school just as his workout. Like,
speaking
just,
of a truck, not a trailer, Sigs. That was Mike Alstott, no doubt.
Dude was a freak show.
Sigs, before we go on, let me hit this perplexity. Because I've been more excited about this than I have. Listen, as my tech skills are getting better, but even if they're not, all I got to do is say, could you do this, 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 and this when it comes to Perplexity and Comet? And they're doing it for me. Man, the simplification to toggle and get things done with a web browser off the chart. Comet, C-O-M-E-T, is a new AI-powered web browser from Perplexity. I want you to check it out. You go to perplexity.ai/comet. It can navigate Comet around the web like a human would. Now, think about that. Now, you're saying, well, Sean, don't we have that? You tell it, and it brings it up for you. No. How about do it for you? Clicking, typing, searching, and scrolling just like you would, getting what you need done so you can do more. Aren't we all trying to get maximize our days with time? And it's kind of like you're a DIYer, right? You want to get other things done. This is going to free you up to get other things done so you're not sitting in front of your phone. We all do it, man, all day long. Me, I'm a golf apparel fanatic. Not only studying it so I can build my own golf apparel and leisure business, but everybody else, oh, what's this shirt? Well, this company's got this. Oh, I want to see this manufacturer. I do it. And whether it's movie tickets, whether it's Amazon, Ralph Lauren, book a flight or a hotel, discounts and promo codes, book a service like a repairman. So let's say you want to go get some Mexican food in Austin and you're going to drive there and I'm in Houston and you're going to want an appointment next week. So you call up, hey, here's what I want. Here's the time. Could you make sure on a calendar you send it to the other couple that's joining us and bam, let them know. Comment. Perplexity. Now think about this for a second. Think about, let me ask you this. How much time do you spend every day, every single day on a web browser? How much time do you spend clicking around online, searching, scrolling, typing endless tabs? Probably a lot. That's me. I just looked at my tabs, 140 tabs, and 130 of them are golf apparel, manufactured golf club companies, golf ball companies. 130 of them. So we spend a lot of time doing that. Well, there's a new AI web browser from Perplexity called Comet. It's completely changing the way you're able to interact with your browser. Using Comet feels like a personal assistant that we probably all need, and most of us, because, well, we need organization. Living right as a live human in your web browser that can actually do things for you across the internet. Yes, do. I didn't say help. I said do things. D-O things. They can do things, not just give you answers. You're looking for answers? Fine. Find it somewhere else. You're looking for expertise and do it for you to free you up to do other things? It's Comet, okay? Get on about your day. Listen, when they can literally do things, your searches and scrolls, just like you would, get things done for you in the background while you're doing it right there. They're getting them in the background while you're doing the other things that I talked about. Comet can shop for you. It can make reservations for you. It can book travel for you, summarize articles or videos for you, send emails, schedule meetings, schedule dinner appointments, schedule movies, and do a lot more to make your life easier. Isn't that we all want peace of mind to get a freer and easier life? Well, let me show you how it works. Triple E, pull this up, man. I've the last couple of days I've done, you know, the best golf resorts in the country. So let's do this. Tripoli, Segs is a part of it too. He loves this too. I know he's using Perplexity as well in Comet. Tripoli, do this. Pull up best steakhouses in the country, in the U.S. Best steakhouses in the U.S. Now, let's say you pull it up and you get that steakhouse, right? And then you say, okay, now I want to make reservations. We're flying to Miami or Los Angeles or Texas. And here's the date we're going to be in. Here's the four couples that are going. I want this, 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 and this. Could you send them their calendar and remind them, make reservations and let us know? Instead of just bringing them up, now you got to go do it. You're feels like your living personal assistant is right there. Listen, Comet doesn't just give answers. It actually gets things done for you. Because it is a web browser, Comet can use all accounts you're already logged into and take action across the web. Comet takes actions like a human online. It click, type, scroll, and fill out forms just like you would. Saves you time and mental energy. Listen, this is what success looks like, and Comet is and what makes it different. This, to me, is the greatest web browser on the planet because it's a living personal assistant. At least that's what it feels like. And they'll do stuff for you so you can get other stuff done. Here's what I want you to do. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It is. And it's changing the game. It's already changed my game. And I know Segs had mentioned it's changed his as well. And Triple E's already bought it. And I can't even get him off the damn thing once we're on the show because he wants to be all over it. So download Perplexity's new AI web browser. Download it. Go get it. And it's Comet by heading to pplx@ai/Sean, S-E-A-N, and let your browser work for you. Plus, right now, when you download Comet, you get a month of Rumble Premium for free. That's a big get. Plus, you got an assistant taking care of you and freeing up your time so you can do more. Again, that's pplx@ai/Sean. Go now and take back your time online with the best web browser, Perplexity. Go download that and the new AI web browser, Comet, C-O-M-E-T, Comet. All right, Triple E, I see it. I know you're planning your vacations and stuff. We got a show to do. I know you love this Comet stuff just like I do. We're back. Triple E's the best, man. I feel you, dog. I feel you. Now they're going to say, Sean, when are we flying in to get that steakhouse in Chicago so we can go visit Segs, who's back at it with us? So, Segs, welcome back in, man. I know you make those reservations. Just make sure you pay instead of me. Fair enough. When I come to see you, your treat. There you go.
Sounds good.
So back to this football stuff, my man. We move on, but an impressive win for the Giants to close this one out. Big win.
Yeah. So a tough night for Philadelphia Eagles fans, who most Philadelphia Eagles fans are also Philadelphia Phillies fans, who also had to watch their team lose in extra innings when Orion Kerkering had a ground ball hit back to him in the bottom of the 11th, bases loaded, two outs. All he had to do, he knocked the ball down like you're taught. All he had to do was pick it up and throw to first base. Instead, he tried to fire home for some reason on a ball he couldn't really get a grasp of, and I think that's why he panicked a little bit and tried to throw home. But he had so much more time at first base. He throws it away. The Dodger runner didn't even step on home plate at first. He had to go back and touch. So it was chaos at the end of that game. But man, you got to feel bad for this Kerkering kid. But you know what? You know who I don't feel bad for? Is Philly fans. Because they're the ones out here who are talking all the shit all the time.
Damn, you're going all in on Philly fans.
Their teams, and they don't ever shut up.
This is a badge of honor. You love this stuff.
A night like last night puts these Philly fans in their place a little bit. Sit down. One of your teams is done for the season. One of your teams that just coming off a Super Bowl. Yeah, you're high and mighty. Your team looks like shit. And you got to wear it. And you have a 76ers season that's getting ready to start, and I'm sure Joel Embiid's already taking days off.
Oh, dude, load management kicks in. He's off for 40 games before it starts.
Paul George is hurt. I mean, you know what? You got to wear this a little bit, Philly fans, because you run your mouth way too much.
There's a few guarantees in sports. Philly fans are passionate, and Joel Embiid's missing half the season. But for 40 games, he's going to be a bitch, dude. He's going to be
MVP candidate if we're doing half the season.
nothing. Hey, shaved wrong on, you know, shaved wrong. Got a cut. See you in 6 weeks. Okay, that's the way it's going to go. That's the way. Well, hell, there's plenty of players like him in the NBA that, man, they're great when they play. It's the problem is they don't. But here, I'm going to defend Philly fans a little. I get it. Your Chicago fans are pretty damn passionate too, Segs. Yeah. Now, I grew up in San Diego, so sometimes like, ah, fuck, we got our ass kicked. Let's go to the beach. So maybe a little less West Coast passion than East Coast.
If you have the beach, it's a lot easier to just get over it.
Right. To say, oh, I got my team's ass kicked. That's okay. I get to go surf, right? Or that. But in LA, it's like, oh, the Dodger fans may roll in a little late. Laker fans, it's the middle of the second quarter. You don't have that. You guys are in your seats in Chicago like an hour before, same in Boston, same in Philly. Different passion. Doesn't mean they're better fans, but I get it. Defend them. One thing I do know about Philly fans, they're going to be on their ass all offseason. And you can't talk them out of confidence, Segs. They're just going to find a new way to be confident, even though two of their teams now are going through it. But they are the reigning Super Bowl champs. But, yeah, when you talk it, you got to be able to deal with it. But I do know Philly fans and a couple of my buddies that are diehard Philly fans. You know, they're going to still fight back, Segs. They're going to come up with some reason. They already want the pitcher probably exiled out of Philadelphia and going somewhere else. Now, Segs, there was two mistakes in a game, one by the Dodgers and one by Philly, that could have cost the Dodgers and did for a second. And then the one by at the end. And if you saw Realmuto, he was pointing to first base.
Yes.
But you know what? We always talk about poise under pressure, Segs, and getting out in front of it and planning for those moments. The runner at first is out by 10 yards, but he did panic because his vision was at home plate. He could have wheeled and threw it underhand and probably got the runner at first. But that's what that pressure under duress does to you. When you look at it this way, remember early in the game, Dodgers, an easy 3-6-1 double play. Yeah. Ground ball, bam. Pitcher drops it, goes into the dugout. I mean, it damn near hits his glove, Segs. He closed it too soon. Goes in, Kepler goes to second base. And what's up next? The guy had been struggling. Castellanos yanks one down the line, scores, and they go up 1-0. Well, the Dodgers fight back because they got here's another mistake, a bases loaded walk, right? Segs to walk in their run. And now it's 1-1. And then here you are with this mistake. Can you imagine? And not only that, Segs, it's an eliminate. And think about the tale of two emotions. The Dodgers are going through, and I guarantee to you, they are in that dugout and those fans thinking, we're about to head our ass back to Philadelphia for a game five. And that I told you yesterday, if the Dodgers go back to Philly, they are not winning game five, in my opinion. I would have taken Philly till the cows come home, hell or high water. And I guarantee they're thinking it. And then they get this unbelievable break. Now they get the bases loaded, so they had to earn it. You know, get a couple hits and then a walk and load them up. But I'll be damned if that mistake. So the relief in their dugout, and if you're Philadelphia thinking, we are simply one play away from going back home and doing our thing and being right back where they think they belong, right? And so the tale of emotions for both fans, I'm sure if they're Phillies fans sitting at home are thinking, you got to be kidding me. And when they saw the Dodgers there thinking, we took advantage of it, we're closing this thing out. And, you know, all hands were on deck because you saw Lizardo back in the game after starting a couple of days ago. So I giving you, 5-6 innings. So it was a weird night, but they are moving on. And now Seattle in the other one, Segs, I don't know if that's where you're transferred to. They left the door open now, and now you got to face Scooble, right?
Yep.
The Cubs fight back, and they even this series, and now you got to face Scooble. And I don't care if you're playing Scooble in the friggin' parking lot, Segs. If you're playing Scooble in the friggin' parking lot, the dude's ERA is below 2 in this. You see a strikeout to walk ratio. You're getting the most dominant daily left-hander in baseball. We're going to find out. And I don't really care where he pitches. I don't know what the splits are from home and away for him. I can't imagine there's much difference, Segs. I can't imagine for him. This is going to be one hell of a matchup. But right now, he's probably the last guy you want to have to face, right? No matter where you're playing.
And that's with Seattle being 3-0 against Scooble this season. And I think
actually got to him, but they didn't dominate him, but they still got him three times.
Yeah. So, I mean,
who are you betting on, Segs?
Oh, you got 10 grand.
You got 10 grand. You got to pick not with the run spread, not spread. You're just outright money lining it. Who are you picking?
I'm taking Scooble all day long.
Don't say you're not getting him a fourth time, Segs. At some point in time, don't you say, you know, when hitters, like the third time around in the fifth inning of a game, sometimes the hitters figure the pitch out.
Right.
This is the opposite thing. The guy's got high baseball IQ. You think, okay, you got me the first three times. You're going to see a different Tarek Skubal in his mind of, not this time, son. You don't get me four times, right? I would think that's going on. Yet if you're Seattle, you're saying, well, we get them at home, so we like those averages. But I can tell you, just the rule or law of averages tell me you may get a gem from Scooble in it. And first 1-3 or 4 segs is winning this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I did see a quick a video the other day of Scooble and Paul Skeens talking. And they were asked, or I think Scooble asked Skeens, like, how many Division I offers did you get to play baseball in college? And Skeens was like, I got 2. I got Army and I got Navy. And Scooble said he got 1, and I'm not even sure where that was. But the 2 best pitchers in baseball, arguably,
righty lefty, no doubt.
Yep. 3 combined Division I offers, and 2 of them were military school. And,
Paul Skeens
went, and he was playing shortstop and third base there. He wasn't even a pitcher. And then he started pitching as he got there, and then he transferred to LSU, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and he's so dominant. Segs, let that be a lesson. You make such a great point. I'm so glad you brought it up. Let it be a lesson to every kid who thinks and every parent who's watching this show or any other time. Real quick story, Segs. I was teaching at a camp. I might have told you this when we were talking about your son and you know, mm-hmm. your nephew, right, a while back. I had a kid, a great kid, but I was coaching at a camp at an elite quarterback at – that's what they called it, not mm-hmm. me, just elite quarterback. So I was the guy who got all the upper class, I got all the high school kids. And then we brought a kid up who's young but small, but a competitive kid. And I was sitting in a meeting room after our first day of practice, and he's probably 5'9", 175 pounds. Little guy, but competitive, good player.
Yeah.
And I remember his parents coming up to me after one practice. Because we were in the meeting room, we meeting in the morning, go out on the field, process what you learned and what we were going to put in, come back in, go back through what we talked about, watch a little tape, talk about what we're going to do in the afternoon, and you know, just do the product like you mm-hmm. would in a regular team.
Yeah.
And I remember the parents coming up to me after the first practice and after the meeting. Here was the exact quote. Love the parents. Do you think my son's a D1 player? Segs, he was in the 8th grade now. Mind you, at 5'10", 175, I saw him one practice. One. And it hit me hard. First off, and I told him, I said, listen, your son's got to be really competitive. He'll be a good player. He said, first off, let's not graduate him from high school yet. Let's slow down. I said, second off, if I were to sit here and tell you as an 8th grader that your son was a Division I player, then you should never hire me as your coach and never allow me to coach your kid again. A disservice, disrespectful, and quite frankly, misleading and wrong, right? And it also hit me, and I've seen it happen, and your talk about Scooble and Paul Skeens is just the perfect add-on to this. Parents, stop it. And kids, stop it. You know, you see kids wearing D1 hats around. There's a lot of great sports being played that aren't in D1. And some of the best players you've ever seen didn't get recruited. It's not all about 5 stars. As a matter of fact, the law of average would say that just as many 3 stars, I would think, have succeeded in life or in sports as 5 stars have, because the expectations, you over-evaluate it, whatever it is. But can we stop that it's D1 or bust? Now, I know the goals. You want to play at Alabama. Well, now with the transfer portal, hell, you can go to a JC or go play at a smaller school and go and get your dreams up if you play well at the other place. Take care of Fridays or Saturdays at a smaller school. And from Dylan, we see it all the time.
Yep.
But at that point in time, NIL and transfer portal weren't in. But it was like, listen, there's great football being played at a lot of places. So can we please stop this? And Seg's point about 3 schools recruited right now, and there is no argument that Tarek Scooble, left-hander, and Paul Skeens are the best. Now, there's some really good ones outside of those two. But if we were starting franchises with a righty or lefty, those two are where you're starting your pitching franchise. It's Scooble and Paul Skeens, period.
Yep.
So there's room for a lot of different divisions, JUCO stars, D1 athletes, guy who played at a small school that you've never heard of. I've seen it happen. I've played with every team I've ever played on had a guy who said, what, you played there? Who's a fantastic player. So it isn't. And that's a great example of 2 phenomenal players that had to fight and scratch to get scholarship offers, let alone Division I offers, right?
Yeah.
So there you have it. That right there, that's precious cargo, brother, protected, because that's a lot of money and a lot of wins.
Scooble even said, he's like, I wasn't any good till I was 26. He goes, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure pitching out. I was fine. You know, I had talent, but I could never figure it out. And then he's like, I was 26 and whatever it was clicked. And then I just figured out.
He's figured that bitch out now, hasn't he? Yeah, okay. Yeah. And all the schools that did recruit schemes at LSU let him in are sitting there saying, Army, Navy, okay, he's a guy who's committed to the military and he loves his country and he's going to go there and he's got bigger goals than just sports, right? Yeah. And then you wake up one day and you say, oh, that's that cat that I didn't recruit. I can't hit him and neither can anybody else. If you just give him two runs a game, he wins 20 games. I mean, it's sick. It's actually sick.
Skeens thought he was going to be a fighter pilot. That was his thing when he went to Navy. That's a big-ass
fighter pilot, brother.
That's a monster. That is a big-ass fighter
pilot. Both of them have figured it out, Segs. Yes. They both figured out the game, no doubt.
All right, couple things before we get to our NFL college football picks. We pick three games in each week, every Friday. First off, about 12:40 Central Time every single day, starting on Monday, we will take questions from the fans in the chat on Twitter. And we'll just run through and we'll just give you quick answers on each question, whatever you want to throw at us.
Because we hate when the comments come up, we're talking, it's hard to type them in. Yes. We're going to try in the next one, the studio's built to get it to where we can actually have verbal, you know, we're like a Paul Feinbaum, so you can call in. Because we want you guys, this is why we're any good.
Right.
This is why we love it. And I just want you to know, we don't take these comments scrolling like crazy through the comment. It's just when we're doing it, it's hard to stop down and type because then it's disrespectful. Me staring down at Segs while he's trying to talk. We're trying to make a point. So we want a segment for you guys, and we're going to start doing that on Monday. Great point.
Yes, Segs. Monday, 12:40 Central, 1:40 Eastern. So save your questions. And again, it doesn't have to be sports. It can be movies. It can be politics if you really want them. It can be a personal question.
We're not taking any
questions. You smell bad.
Get in USC on Monday unless we win. So there you go.
Yes, yes. So
yeah, cologne or yeah. What's your deal breaker with the Zoids? What's your deal breaker?
If you need to know if Sean's gay, just ask and we'll tell you.
Well, so, I said no to be gay, but I'm okay with those who said yes. Okay. Sure, no, sure. Not to time in with the name of the broadcaster. No to be gay.
Yeah.
There's no. To be gay. Although, if you decide that, that's okay. It's just probably not for me. It might be for Segs, but that's okay. You know what? Much love for everybody, Segs. We're an all-embracing show.
Maybe not all-embracing. Maybe not all-embracing.
See, Triple E chimed in because he might have said yes, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hell. Or maybe he said no. I look at watching. There you can see.
He said no. And then real quick, Shedeur Sanders has been named quarterback, too. So everybody can relax. Everybody can relax.
Amazing grace.
Now,
Segs,
quarterback.
But you know what? But guess what? If he goes and completes the ball during 7-on-7 and we show it on Twitter, why isn't he starting this week? Dylan Gabriel missed that throw against Minnesota in London last week. He's a step closer. And usually at 2, a chance presents itself one way or the other. Point. At some point in the season, he wasn't preparing Segs. His ass is in his playbook now, isn't it?
Yep.
He's in that playbook now, getting ready for it. And if it turns out great, God bless him. But they've cleared the way for a bunch of – think about this, Segs. You're riding with rookie, and your third guy, too. Like you said, Bailey Zappe, a veteran, but a guy who's never been a full-time starter. So Cleveland's skewing on the way of, we ain't got much offense. We got to find it. We'll see the Dylan Gabriel stage of where he's at in game 2 this week.
And Carson Beck was named our midseason or close to midseason Heisman Trophy winner
on the poll
from yesterday. Yes.
Which I still would have taken Dante Moore. I think he's better.
Yes, I do too. Quick poll question today. Why does my computer keep doing this? If you could only watch
college football. Is that a poll question? I don't know why the fuck your computer keeps doing it, Segs. It sucks.
It keeps switching me over to a different browser, and it keeps taking the poll question away from me.
Once again, perplexity, comment. Yes. Okay, you've learned a valuable lesson live on air today.
Need to start using that. If you could watch only college football or the NFL for the rest of your life, which one would you choose? NFL currently leading at 54.6%. So it's close. It's close. And I have seen.
Are you shocked?
I'm a college football guy. I picked college football in the poll. I am a college football guy. I like that more than the NFL. But I watch both. I watch both, a ton of both.
Is it because maybe a lot of fans? Yeah. Is it because maybe a lot of fans think that they don't have it. Like, you're a Michigan guy. I'm a Trojan. So you're affiliated. Now, some of them, their team, maybe they didn't go to college. They built a business somewhere else. Maybe they went to a school that we're not talking about every week. Or maybe they just think with NIL and transfer portal, they're so over that part of it that they kind of lump them together. Because it truly is an NFL minor leagues now. That's what you're getting, the way they're getting paid. I chose college and Sags. You know what won out for me? And I know that they do, like, in great places, they have great tailgating in the NFL. I get it. But it's the pond. And I was going to say, well, it's more pure. There ain't nothing pure about any sport now. No. We've lost that, okay?
That's
you know, when you say, oh, the purity of these young amateur athletes, there ain't nothing amateur about college sports. It's not amateur. So say it. And it's not student athlete. That doesn't exist either. The student is the guy who doesn't need to be told he's a student athlete. Was going to go to school anyway, or the girl who does that. I'm going to say, Sags, that maybe the reason – is affiliation with the university. That's one. For me, the reason they chose NFL, because you can be affiliated with your team, didn't have to go to school there, right?
Yes.
Because you know, some teams may not root for Michigan if they didn't go to school. What do I watch college football? I don't have an alumni support. But in NFL, you didn't have to go there or play there to love your team.
Right.
And for me, the reason, though, college won over is I like the pomp and circumstance around it. I do. I guess it's all the pre-game hype. And maybe college game day has something to do with driving me to college football. And maybe I would choose college as well. If I had to give one up for life, I would give up the NFL first.
Yeah, I'm with you too.
I still think both need help though, Sags. I think both need some help and neither one are at the quality that I want. Not just to play on the field, just the overall way we look at it. Some things bother me about both. But if you said, Sean, you can't watch this weekend, I would say skip the NFL. The energy of college football gets me going more, because you can be down 28-3 and be playing a high-powered team, and you blink and it's now 33-28, the team that was down 4 touchdowns. That doesn't happen often in the NFL.
It will be interesting. If you ask me this question again in 10 years, it may be the opposite. If they don't figure out the whole NIL transfer portal thing, it cannot just be a free-for-all every single year. Rid of one of the transfer portal periods in the spring. Now it's just the one early January. Agreed. But you still cannot let these kids transfer every single year. It just can't. There has to be a limit. I don't like the, if you transfer once, you're out for a year. I don't like that. You should at least get one free transfer. The second one, I think, costs you a season. And it doesn't, you don't get to redshirt. You don't get to do any of that. You lose a season. I think that would help things in the college game. But all right, let's get to our picks this week. We'll end the show on this. Rams -7.5 at Baltimore. So they are a 7.5-point favorite on the road in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson will not play. It will be Cooper Rush again. And the over-under set at 44.5. You want me to go first or you?
Go ahead on that one. This is an easy one for me.
Yeah. I'm taking Rams -7.5, and I would go the under here.
I don't think Baltimore can score. And I don't think that Baltimore, the only, I'll tell you how they get the over if the Rams hang 45 on them.
Right.
Honest to God. And I think they're capable of doing it. To me, Baltimore's defense is soft. They're injured. They're beat up. I don't know if there's even much energy. I mean, we're going to find out. I know they got pride. I don't know how much energy's in the building right now, Sags, honestly. And offensively, what do we have as an update for Lamar as we sit today?
It will not play, just has not practiced.
It's still the same, though. Days.
Yes.
It's not a problem, but we're still out, right?
Okay. Yes.
So, you know, I always, because last week, even then, half the week, the Texans were actually preparing in their game planning for Lamar Jackson, but then they announced it out and they went in.
I mean, I guess technically he still could play. I don't know that he's been
ruled. But he wouldn't be at full strength, Sags.
Yeah, Adam Schefter said today he's not practicing, and it's presumed that Cooper Rush will play.
I think Zay Flowers is going through a questionable situation too right now, Sags, with him. Not only give me the Rams, if you said 9.5, I'm taking the Rams. I think this is a curb stop. And the Rams still have a little bit of 49ers lingering, Sags, you know, after that one. The 49ers are 4-1. And if 49ers are able to take on and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this is a must. This is huge for the overall picture. And I know it's 6 weeks in. You give me the Rams by a mile. I got this one, the Rams. No, and I would take the under two unless the Rams score 40, which they're capable of doing.
Next game, you just mentioned them. The 49ers play in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a 3.5-point favorite, over-under set at 47.5.
I'm taking I think I like the over in this one, Segs. I do, but close, like a 27-23 type game. You know what, for me, you said it's 47 and a half, right?
Yes.
I'm going to take the over in this game. I'm taking Tampa. I think it's probably close to a 4 or 5 point game. I like Tampa at home. I think that the Mac Jones has played well, but I think they're going to force him off his mark a little bit this week. All the respect and the way he's played, he's making it difficult on the 49ers coaching staff, but there's an energy. The MVP in the league plays in Tampa. I think he continues to accentuate that. He protects the football. Give me energy. Give me Tampa. I'll take them in this game. And I think it's a 4, 4.5, 5 point game. If okay. I say 4.5, you get my point. That's where I pick it at.
I'm taking Tampa as well. I'm going to take the under, though. I think both teams' defenses are playing well. I think that both offenses can put up points, but I think it will be more of a slower pace game than we've seen.
So you're like a 23-20 type game.
Yes.
23-20 type game.
Yes. Okay. Just under. So I'll take the Bucs and the under. Lions at Chiefs. This is Sunday Night Football. Chiefs minus 2.5 with the over under set at 52.5.
I know it's at home. This is, you'd normally get 5. If you love the Chiefs, wouldn't you say 5.5, 5 points? Yeah. To me, and it's in, like we said, it's Arrowhead. You said, right? It's at home. Mm-hmm. Chiefs. I it doesn't matter where they play this. I think Detroit's playing at a best team in the league pace right now. They're just something different. I know the Chiefs last 2 weeks offense has gotten better, Segs.
Yeah.
What's the over under set at, Segs?
52.5. Big.
I do like the over in the game as well. I know sometimes if we get caught up in overs and favorites, while I like the Chiefs defense, I still think Mahomes can move the ball. There'll be some big plays in it. I am going Lions offense in this and enough on defense. High scoring game. I like the Lions. They're underdogs going in there. They're playing, in my opinion, better. And I still think after that first loss, it sent a message. I think it's a great coaching matchup as well. Yeah. Give me Detroit in space. I like Detroit on the road to go win at Arrowhead. I don't think the intimidation of Arrowhead's the same. I like the way Detroit's playing. I like that, especially being dogs. I don't know how I'd like it if they were 3.5 point favorites going on the road. That would be telling you what Vegas is telling you. Give me the Detroit Lions. I think they continue to stay in first place.
Yeah, I got the Detroit Lions. I just think with the way they're playing, and yes, Chiefs have been playing better, but they haven't been playing the Lions. And when you play the Lions in this offense, it travels well. And I think the Lions, and I have the over as well. I think we could be pushing 60 plus points in this game. I think it will be maybe a 7 point game at the end, but that's Kansas City trying to get back in the game. You know, they're up two.
And Mahomes throwing a late touchdown.
Scores, yeah, get a late touchdown. Maybe get the ball back
to recover because they're favored. But yes, you make it closer than it really is.
Yes.
It would kind of feel things like, what game did we say? It was 28-20 that it wasn't as close. What NFL game last week did we say? You know which one I'm talking about. I said, while it looked like it wasn't as close as it felt. Right. It might have been a Monday night. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I can't remember
which one. It feels like that.
Same feeling.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. I like Detroit in the game.
All right, now we move to our college picks. We got Alabama traveling to Columbia to take on Missouri. Bama is a 2.5 point road favorite in this game, and the over-under set at 51.5.
Over.
Okay.
Bama's going to have to stop the run game in Missouri. They'll do something that makes some big play. Missouri will somehow. I think Kalen DeBoer is starting to win the team over, but I got to see it again on the road against an opponent. You know, they geared up for Georgia. They geared up at home to face Vanderbilt. I think they're getting after it. And they got after Paiva a little bit last week. I'm going to take, even though I told you, be careful in this game if you're Alabama, but this is the perfect game for the fan base to almost shift their narrative on him. They've started a little bit, Segs, and you have to win games like this. This will tell us just how focused they are. I'm going to take Alabama on the road. I think the Alabama brand and their level of football, and there's no quarterback in the country playing better than Simpson is. Give me Alabama in a close and dangerous game. Now, I do reserve a little asterisk by this. Go ahead and turn it over a couple times on the road, and I would be careful what you on the team or plane ride back. This is a dangerous game, but give me Alabama close.
I have the same picks as you with Bama and over. I don't think the game's going to be close.
You think it's a blowout?
Yes, I think Bama blows them out by 10 plus points. I think Mizzou has not seen a team like Bama yet on their schedule. And I think when Bama rolls in, Hardy's going to be, it's going to be a lot tougher to get those big yard that he's been getting each and every week. He's got 100 plus yards and a touchdown in every single game. And maybe he gets that, but it's going to be much harder for him to get those stats than it's been through the first 5 weeks of the season. Question. So yeah. I think Bama's going to route them.
And I still think Simpson could have a monster game too. Thanks. I do.
The most interesting game of the weekend for me, Indiana traveling to Autzen Stadium to take on Oregon. Oregon's a 7.5-point favorite at home, 53.5-point over-under. I'll go first on this one. I have Oregon, and I have them big. I think this is another blowout. I think Oregon, to me, right now is the best team in the country. I think they have that propensity to have a letdown game, but I don't think this is it. I think at home with the team traveling cross country who has been playing well lately, but again, they haven't played a team like Oregon. So I think this is where Oregon kind of shows itself again after beating Penn State a couple weeks back that they are arguably the best team. And yes, over, because Indiana will score on them, but I think this could be a 45 to 31 type game.
I think the over big on this. I do. I love both coaches for similar reasons. I'm telling you, the confidence they're going to let their team know that they have, you know what that's going to be. Cignetti's going to say, we're going in there kicking their ass. And Lanning's going to say, we'll be waiting on you. Tough place to play. Not only give me Oregon by double digits, give me Oregon by double digits and the over. If you like watching fun football, you're going to love this one. This is going to be a lot of big plays. I like Oregon. I, too, can make the argument that I know Miami is there, and I understand, Ohio State. I think Oregon's as good as anybody, and I think their quarterback's as good as anybody. I think this is Oregon by a double digits and the over.
All right, so we're pretty much exactly the same except for the 49ers Bucks. You have the over, I have the under. Other than that, we've picked the same. Last game of the pick'em. Michigan at USC. USC a 2.5-point favorite. 55.5 for the over-under. Let's see if we're the same here.
Segs, I've told you this. We've talked about this. I love betting, and I'm a bettor.
Yeah.
And I've told you that to leave the emotion out of it. Quit making me bet my team, because when I do, I always lose. So in my own private money, I've quit betting USC because, man, this is a blowout. They're 10-point favorites, and they win by 9. I mean, it never fails, dude. They get backdoor covered. Over the last 6 years, I've lost more money betting on my alma mater, even when they're good. They may win them, but it's never – they just don't cover for me when I've chosen to pick on them. So I said, no. And then it takes the emotion where I'm watching, I'm thinking, cover this. Now I just watch them win or lose.
Yes.
But then again, you have to do that. So I can't be a coward and not bet this, at least on the air.
Yes.
I'll be damned if I'm betting this thing in person because I'm not risking my money. My initial thing is to say pick Michigan, and hopefully that I say Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. You know why? Well, they're more physical and they're a better team overall because they play better defense. And can SC not play on roller skates and all that stuff that I would think about. But I am going to homerize it and be with my alma mater and say, please, just on the air, I'm not letting anybody take my money in this game. I refuse to allow you to put me into this. Give me SC by a field goal late at home to prove that they'll get more stops than we expected. What's the over-under in the game?
55.5.
Give me the under and SC by 3.
All right. So I also have the under. I'm going the other side, obviously, Michigan. I think Michigan has enough defense to slow down that good USC offense. And I think that USC's defense will.
What's the weakness of your team, Sags? What's the weakness of your team, would you say, if you had one? Not glaring, but if there was a weakness of your, what is it, right? Catching the football?
Yeah. The passing game. I think it's still developing. It's very young. We got a freshman already starting. We got a new kid coming in at wide receiver. Bryce Underwood obviously is a true freshman, and they might be playing another true freshman.
I'd say for us, it's not just perceived, but over the last couple of years, and even this year, we saw Illinois do it, is the ability to stop a two-dimensional team that can run it and throw it. Even though you're having trouble catching it, the quarterback's still a dynamic skill set, right, in Michigan. And their big plays are ability with his legs and his arm. So I would say our weakness is, can we handle a downhill running game? Is that fair at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Now that I go, okay, whose weakness is whose weakness is weaker? And I don't know the answer. If your guys were catching the ball, I'd say our weakness is weaker against the run.
Right.
If you guys have a game where you drop last week where the ball hits the ground too much, we'll win the football game because that'll limit your big plays. And maybe a series or two on a drive that we need to get off the field. The truth of the matter is, for me, I wouldn't – if somebody said you have $1,000, I'd say, can I just keep it in my pocket? I'm not willing to bet my own money. But I get why you're doing it. I'm just hoping our team speed and space that we make a couple big plays and can force can get a couple short fields against you guys. So I'm going to go, this is semi-homer pick for me. Although I think SC's a little different this year than they've been the last couple of years defensively.
I feel like the difference in this game, and they didn't do it last week. They've done it a few weeks prior, and it's kind of weird how they're doing it. If they let Underwood use his legs and Justice Haynes and Jordan Marshall are running the ball like they're capable. I mean, Justice Haynes, I think, leads the nation. He's almost at 8 yards per carry. And Jordan Marshall's at like 6.5 yards per carry. And then when Underwood does run the ball in set runs and then just using his legs in the passing game, he's dynamic. If they let him run the ball, call design runs for him, I think Michigan wins the game. If they that's when I'm worried about USC just having a little too much firepower.
That's why I said the two-dimensional part of the quarterback would concern me if I'm SC. If we see 12 to 15 carries where 15, three of them are scrambles and 12 of them, 10 to 12 are designed runs, I think that puts us in a bind because that fake designed run, pull up and make a throw off an RPO fake, it concerns me because you've got to be aware of his legs. And as every defensive coordinator will tell you, first off, we got to stop the run. And that includes the quarterback run. That's it. But if you're down in that three or four carry segs, two scrambles and two RPOs, that may keep us in the game because I do like our skilled position players and our quarterback's really frigging good.
And as dumb as it sounds, there is going to be something. The fact that Michigan is practicing at the Chargers facility and Jim Harbaugh is going to be around and just him being there talking to Sherrone Moore about the game coming this Saturday, about what he sees. Because you know Harbaugh's still involved in watching USC play and everything. That I think that can make a difference because it feels like Sherrone's been a little – he's held everything close to the vest. He's not opening up the playbook as much as you'd like to see that they did when Biff Poggi was running everything. They opened things up. Sherrone came back and they were kind of pulled everything back close. I think Jim.
Well, they were saving it because they know they could win last week. So they're saving it for this one on his second game back. No doubt.
It's going to be interesting to see how they use Underwood. That's the big key to me is Underwood. If they
we got to make him one dimensional. We absolutely have to make him one dimensional. And by the if you're going to blitz him, you better hold up because he's physical enough to step out of your tackles too. So you better tackle well with that guy in space and in the pocket. And Isaiah, my answer to you. I think Milwaukee wins this one at home. I think they end the series, and Milwaukee's moving on. And in truth, Milwaukee and the Dodgers is probably the way it should be, Sags, in the NLCS. Yeah, unless Chicago beats them. But the Milwaukee's been the best team in the National League all year long.
Yeah,
at least performance-wise. Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it. So we got just a little bit of different in our picks, and I'll tally everything up. Let us know how we did on Monday. Let us know how
great
we did the
point
first
by JRM Segs. I didn't mean to interrupt. Great point by JRM. I got to end with this. NCAA is watching closely. Harbaugh is going to get more suspended.
Fuck the NCAA.
If we go over there and Harbaugh's got the play sheet in his face, but he's over like eight yards away, sitting and stuff inactive, and he's wearing like the Bobby Valentine mask when he got kicked out, and stuff, and sent to the dugout and say, oh, here we go. But my respect for Michigan, even with that stuff, grows because Harbaugh loves the shit. I wouldn't be surprised if he – where do they play this week, Segs? Where are they at? Are they on the road? Because I know the bye weeks are the 49 – I mean, are the bye week this week is the Vikings and one other team. There's only two bye weeks this week, and I don't think it's the Chargers.
Nope, that's the Rams. They're at Miami. So
okay, so he won't be there. He'll already be in Miami. I was going to say, because if they weren't, you know, his ass would be standing there, right?
Yeah.
As close to the action as he could get.
Right.
Short of wearing khakis and going over and tackling Sherrone Moore. So
right.
This will be a fun game, Six. I'll talk to you during it, but good luck to you, man.
Yes. All right, well, that'll do it for us today. Reminder, go check out the poll question. Would you rather give up the NFL or college football for the rest of your life? Which one would you choose? I chose college football. Sean also chose college football. But the majority right now says they would keep the NFL. So we'll see. We'll see. Again, I think in 10 years I may change my answer if college football
does not take that long. Exactly. We may have this conversation a year from now and you may be sick of what's going on in college football.
Exactly. All right. Well, enjoy your baseball. Enjoy your weekend of football. We got a ton of it, and I'm going to be at a high school game tonight.
Will Belichick still have a job at this time next week?
I can't remember.
Hold that over the weekend.
Is Jordan his girlfriend's name, I think?
I think so.
Will she – I still think she's going to be a play caller at some point this year.
Well, he'll still
have a headset on.
Dude, if she comes out there and you see this on Saturday, I'm checking out forever.
Yeah.
You see this on Saturday where the plays be a call? I'm done. And I start hearing people call her coach.
What if she's over, like, hitting players, like punching them like Jonathan Gannon? Will she be fined? Or will Bill Belichick just say, like, that's just tough-nosed football from
Jordan? That's just tough football. That's tough football.
She's bringing the heat.
And doing it while she's wearing pumps on the sideline, right?
Yeah. She's got those thigh-high boots on. Hey, I'm not going to lie. I would tune in.
Oh, dude, just for the story value. I'm tuning in for the story value anyway.
I haven't watched much North Carolina football this year for that. If she's in a sundress, thigh-high boots with a headset on, calling plays, I'm in.
Dean Smith was there to watch this.
Oh, gosh. He would.
I'm sure Roy Williams isn't very fond of it either, right?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Even the coach, but you get my point. Like, I don't like what I'm seeing there. So, anyway, great stuff this week, man.
Yep. Thanks to Laura. Thanks, Triple E. Thanks to you, Sean. Thanks to all our listeners, as always. And we'll start our questions 12:40 Central every single day. Started on Monday. So get your questions ready. Again, it can be about anything. All right, guys. We will talk to you next week. Peace.